Hello, welcome to The Big Show, the show where we talk about all the big stories and news happening in tech this week. Anything other than Apple, obviously, since we already had the Mac Show for today. And this week, I have a really cool panel with me, starting us off, top right on my screen. Hawa, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm fine. How's everybody doing?
Doing great, doing great. How's life? I saw that you cooked something really cool the other day. Or like a friend did something. You posted in the food room. I remember that.
Was it okay? It wasn't a drink. I made a drink.
No, it was. It was like you posted like skewered meat of some sort, I think.
Oh, that was suya.
Oh, that was suya. Okay.
So that's what I used to sneak out of boarding school to go and buy.
It looked really good. I have to admit, like I was kind of hungry when I saw that.
Yeah. It was very good. Very, very good.
That's awesome. Other than that, you're doing good? Like everything?
Yeah.
Very fine?
Fine. Busy. Which is good. So yeah, it's getting busier and busier, which is good news. So
Heading out to the pub tomorrow?
No.
No.
I didn't even remember that the pub's open tomorrow. I have to rethink my weekend plans.
Yeah, people might not have heard. UK is opening up pubs as of, I think, was it 6 a.m. tomorrow morning or something? I think I read something like that.
I'm going out on Sunday for a picnic, socially distanced picnic, but yeah.
That sounds fun too, like especially right now.
Be good.
Next to her, we have Mr. Dabs. Alistair, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Are the pubs open in France right now? I think so, right? Like pubs or...
They've been open for weeks and weeks. So
nothing new for you. You're like, what?
No, I was going to say the lockdown pretty much started to come to an end about 6 weeks ago. Because that's when I got my hair cut. So I'm ready for another hair. I'm ready for a second haircut.
Yeah.
Okay, you can see that.
It's really funny when you start measuring things like that, where it's like, oh, this is my first, like, this is my second haircut, this is my third haircut. Like, it's basically, how far away are we from the lockdown now? It's like three haircuts away.
In your case, too. I've just put a link in the chat room as well. After Jeff's mountain lion and then my shark, you know, with the confinement and wild animals doing their own thing. Someone locally just posted this up on their Twitter feed. They were just thought, oh, just go for a walk in the countryside near home. And they found a dead cow being eaten by vultures.
Ooh.
This is just the south of France, okay? There you go. Nice picture of a dead cow being eaten by vultures.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to see
that. That's what we've come to.
Not sure I want to see that. Next,
at least it's not dead cow being eaten by other people in town,
or indeed a live cow being eaten by vultures. That would be bad.
That exactly. would be worse. Yeah. That would definitely be worse.
That would be worse.
Yeah, Jeff, how are you doing? Anybody being eaten in Boulder?
To the best of my knowledge, no one is being eaten in Boulder at this moment.
At this moment, that's. I think that's a good thing. I'll take that.
But the day is young. I mean, it's only just a few minutes after 1 in the afternoon here.
Okay, a lot can happen. Yeah, I'll take that as good news in the US for a change. Like, we definitely need it.
Yes, yes, and we seem to be having a temporary break from fireworks because I don't hear any right now. It's been basically an all day long thing for days now.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty common around the 4th of July, like. Like the week and a half, 2 weeks before it starts, and it basically ends like a week after or something.
Right. So at least for the moment, it doesn't sound like I'm in a war zone. So there's that.
Yay. They just stopped for the podcast. That's totally it, right?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew the show was about to start. So they put down all of their black cats. Mm-hmm. And Roman candles and ran inside so they could sit in front of the computer and watch live.
That's probably it. That's totally it. Next to him, we have our man in Canada, Atlee. How are you doing?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
doing well. How's the whole construction going?
Well, we had sort of put a pause on it with a few things that were going on. We were waiting for some weather, so the ground to dry out so we could continue doing the outside work before we started doing the inside work. The big problem with ripping a building full of computers apart while the outside is a dust bowl.
Definitely.
So the ground, and we ended up doing outside work about a year earlier than we were planning on doing it because of the problem with ticks in the area, and we didn't want to risk the dog's health or our own. So we ended up taking down the trees. We were supposed to do that next like winter, not this past one. So now we have this huge dust bowl. We're still waiting for the ground to dry out. If we get a day's worth of rain, it's a week for it to dry away.
Oh no.
And then we're going to dig down a whole bunch of the soil to flatten out and reshape the property so that the water drains better. So right now all the water drains basically to the house, and we have two sump pumps that are constantly keeping the basement dry.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
So it's kind of thrown everything sort of off kilter. That's hence why we still have no more drywall up behind me, and still I've got to actually get someone in probably in the next week or so to finish up the wiring, to help me finish up the wiring, and then we're going to close up the walls and get it done. Part of it was that we're waiting for an inspection for a new panel, because we had to go from 100 amp panel to a 200 amp panel. Just because the 100 amp didn't have enough power for us here. So we had to wait for someone to do inspection. With COVID going on, inspections sort of got cut off. But now hopefully we should be able to get someone scheduled in. Now it's sort of fight to get in line with all the people.
And because everybody is doing it now.
Everybody has been waiting for the last 3-4 months. Now it's like this huge panic to go get it. The good thing is we had already got our license to do it and our inspection request in well before. They couldn't do it then. So we're already in line. We just have to wait to find out when our time is going to be. So once that's been done, then we can actually close up the walls. We can't close up the walls till the inspector comes in, checks all the wiring is correct, and then we can close up the walls and we'll be on our way. This place will actually start to look like a building.
Actually.
instead of like a place where bombs are made.
Yeah, or like a kill room for like
and bodies.
For Dexter.
Exactly. So Dexter's
trees. You're the best ever.
Are you going to put anything inside the wall? You know how people put kind of dead cats and stuff inside walls when they make.
Well, usually it's money. Money, right?
I was dead cow and a vulture, maybe.
Oh, that's an idea.
I was thinking that in the three panels directly behind me, I put a first generation iPhone, a first generation Windows Phone, a first generation Android.
There you go. Perfect.
In the wall, and then just leave them there.
Exactly. And then put something really crap next to it. The original Scion or something. Really confused.
No, Motorola Flip. Just a Motorola Flip.
That's an idea.
A Palm 3, you know.
Yeah, in about 200 years, someone is going to open that wall, and we're like, what the hell is this? Exactly. What did they do with this?
Yeah. Anything with Ericsson written on it.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Put a little bit of Nortel stock in there.
I say that everything's going to have Ericsson written on it now that Huawei aren't allowed to build those antenna anymore.
It's true.
Last but by absolutely no means least, we have Righty Boy. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
How's life?
Oh, life's great. Work gave us another day off.
Nice.
To sit at home and not go out. It's like, great, you can sit and work at home, or you can sit at home and do nothing. The pubs do open over here tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning, apparently. I don't know who's going to go to the pub at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's not me. Drunk tweets start at 7.
Apparently so.
Well, I mean, it's probably the same people that went to the pub here at like midnight. Like midnight, the day they were allowed to open, they went to the pub. Probably the same people.
it's all good here. I live in Norwich, so if you know what Norwich is, there's bugger all to do if you go out anyway, apart from meet with your attractive cousins. So I'm not going to be doing that.
Well, at least you limited it to the attractive ones.
Oh, of course.
He got standards. I know,
it's all about standards. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right. Cool. The Week in Tech. What's been happening? Who has the first story in? And it's Righty. Jeff has been dethroned this week. So
you know,
yeah, he has.
if I'm going to lose out to anyone, I'm glad it's ready.
That's true.
I always go first, you know, Jeff.
Yeah, that is true. So,
yes,
Edge, there's some interesting news about Microsoft's new Edge browser, right?
Yeah, well, the new Edge is all right. I've used it because, you know, I have a few browsers to test things in, and it's quite nice. I actually did a review on BTN a while back and did a load of benchmarks, and it's actually, you know, compared to, you know, considering it's Chromium-based, it runs better than Chrome, but then Chrome's hog. But I like to choose the software that goes onto my computer. Of, you know, security updates are fine, but if you force your browser on me without asking me, you then auto-launch it when I reboot my computer. You then try to tempt me away from my current browser. I'm going to get a little bit antsy about it, and a few people have. Yeah. So it looks like Microsoft have pushed out the new Edge as part of the critical updates. And it's really getting people back up. So, so the behavior is installs it, it launches immediately, it tries to get you away from Chrome or whatever. It pins itself to the taskbar, and that's a little bit intrusive. And considering
it's very aggressive.
Hang on. Didn't it go to court for this kind of thing a generation ago?
Yes. Well, they did. Yeah. Well, yeah. It was the anti-competition in the EU because we had a browser ballot because of this. Because they, you know, bundled. I don't know if they're trying to get away with their bundle after the effect the Microsoft, the Internet Explorer one was the problem because, you know, it came with, did it come with XP?
It did,
yeah. But obviously this is coming afterwards. So, you know, they give you the option, but.
Not really.
Well.
Okay, so. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, all the default browsers. So if I put Chrome on as my default browsers and then my Mac says, you know, use Safari is better, you know, and they all try that, but they don't launch it and then say, here it is, you know. They give you the choice to set up your machine the way you want. And I was trying to look, I think it keeps the legacy version. So I don't know. I think you've still got the old Internet Explorer, the old Edge and the new Edge.
No, you have the Internet Explorer. You don't have the old Edge anymore.
Oh, the old Edge is gone, is it?
The old Edge is gone. And what it does is it takes over all the spots the old Edge was. So your search always started with the old Edge. The new Edge at least uses the Chromium engine. This is no more nagging than Google is every time I go to Gmail or to Google with another browser. And it goes, do you want to use better? Chrome's better. Just use it. And it pops up all the time. And then you say, no, don't ask me about this anymore. And it goes, sure, no problem. And then about a month or two or 3 months later, it starts it up again. You got to tell it to never ask you again. And so, I mean, it's not any more obtrusive than I've seen any other browser group being. The only thing they're doing is they're trying to let people know that the Edge that used to be part of Windows is now different. It's the same as Chrome without all of the tracking. It essentially is the only difference. The only difference between Chrome and Edge is that it doesn't have the tracking. Now, also, there's a couple things that Chrome's browser has that are specific to Chrome, and there's a couple things that Edge's browser has that are specific to Edge. But essentially, the engine and everything that runs it behind it are all the same. So you should have the same compatibility for websites that you used to have. And that was the big problem that a lot of people had with the old Edge, is that you'd start up websites and they were slow and they were crap because they were built based on the Chromium engine, right? They were built to run best on that browser because it was a popular browser and people really liked it. So it's one of the reasons that when you got a new Windows 10 computer or went upgraded to Windows 10, the browser on it sucked because Edge engine never caught up to Chromium. So they dumped it. They installed Chrome. They put Chromium into the browser. They're trying to give people a chance to understand. And I can understand when people don't like a new piece of software popping up. But realistically, it's what were they going to do? Put another message up on the screen saying, hey, Edge is different now. And here's the reason why. They try to just pop it up once when it first installs. Say, here's what it is. If you want to use it, use it. It doesn't automatically change your defaults, as far as I've experienced.
Well, the thing is, we can say, you know, being techie, we can say, you know, oh, not a problem, and we can sort that sort of thing out. But, you know, with work and everything we're going through, you know, people are worried at the moment. Phishing emails, you know, the volume's gone up. People are worried. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really bad time to just pop something up on someone's computer at the moment.
Well, it's not the best marketing ploy. I get you. And I completely agree with the whole fact that we've been warning people for the last 10 years. When something pops up, don't use it because it's probably going to screw you over. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has basically gone ahead and done something that's going to actually scare some people from using it.
They've kind of created malware, right? In some people's minds.
Create an impression that they think it's a piece of malware. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's from Microsoft at all. They just think that, oh my God, this looks like those scam things that pop up that are malware that, hey, you've got to do this. Mm-hmm. And the fact that what they should have done is in those Windows startups for the first time after you install an update and they go through the thing, hey, we've done a few new things for you and here's what they are. And these are the settings and this is this. Mm-hmm. They should have put screens in there that explain to you what the new Edge was. Mm-hmm. And that you could just find it on the taskbar where the old Edge used to be, the icon's different. That means you've got a better browser. Mm-hmm. And if they'd done that, it would have been a lot less obtrusive. People wouldn't be as annoyed. And I agree that having it pop up automatically when you start Edge does. It gives people that scared, like, I mean, non-technical users, gives them that feeling that, oh, crap, because the first time my mom told me about it, I go, I would just restart your computer and just ignore whatever the hell that was because I didn't know it was going to do that because my machine didn't do that. I had already had the new Edge. Mm-hmm. So it didn't do that. Mm-hmm. It just updated the version and carried on.
Yeah, the way they delivered this was a marketing fail. Oh, because it comes across as a strong arm tactic, and I can see exactly why this is leaving a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. If I were a Windows user and not already using Edge, and I get my critical system updates and it includes here's Edge right in your face right now along with it, I would have been really pissed off.
Yeah.
That said, Edge is my browser of choice. I think it's the best browser on the Mac right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. It has been really good.
The funny thing is I completely agree with you, Jeff, that the Microsoft should have kept the phone division and fired the marketing division. I very often told people right at Microsoft that whatever your marketing department tells you, you guys should probably do exactly the opposite because that's what your users probably want. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty much another example of that.
Yeah.
Has the new Edge reestablished support for EPUB? You happen to know, because I don't use it because I don't think it's very good.
I don't know because I never use a browser for EPUB or PDF.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah. I mean, because you're a Mac user, you probably don't think about it so much because EPUB is very easy to read on a Mac, but it's an absolute bloody nightmare on a PC, I tell you that. And it was the one good thing about Edge up until whenever it was it September, October last year? You could double click on an EPUB and it could be a reflowable EPUB or a fixed layout EPUB and it would open an Edge and you'd get something readable, useful. And I thought, everyone's saying how good we're using Edge just for EPUBs. We must remove that feature immediately. I just wondered if they brought it back. I guess not. I'm searching now. No. Another reason not for me to
buy it. Why in the world would they take that out?
Well, you know, people do that all the time. They take features out.
Yeah, but something that that sets the product apart in such a useful way, it's just crazy.
Well, I was thinking maybe they had something up their sleeve, but there are, as far as there's no decent fixed layout EPUB reader on Windows at all. I still haven't found a decent one. I found some good enough ones, but oh well,
and just ask. That's surprising too. I mean, it's not like EPUB is an obscure format.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Or a new one.
I agree.
Or a new one.
Maybe I found
right.
a separate project.
But you see, if you're on the Mac, many of us use Macs, so it's just EPUB, open it up, iBooks, there it is. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
You don't even have to think it. You don't even know what program you're in half the time. But
yeah, but I'm pretty Windows sure that if Microsoft
been
did
very,
that.
Very, sorry?
Pretty sure if Microsoft did that, the EU would go after them for tying it into the OS.
That's a possible. That's possible, but that would assume that someone else had something that would compete with it, which no one does. I mean, not even with Adobe software, you can make fixed layout EPUBs, but possibly the worst EPUB reader in the world is Adobe's. I don't know if you've ever tried.
I will agree with you on that.
Digital editions. There's a name that slips off a tongue.
You could almost say the worst X is Adobe's for just about everything Adobe makes.
I'm not sure about that.
Video editing is good, but it's resource. It's
oh,
bad.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
they have some great usable tools. The problem is all of them are hard on the machines they run on. Mm-hmm. Like they don't return resources. For some reason, I think that's probably been Adobe's biggest problem over the years. And then they've never really fixed it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they do a lot of...
Well, to fix it, you need some sort of consistency with the development teams. And they're just constantly changing and spread across the world.
Yeah, that's true. Who's got the next story for us? That would be Boom. Jeff.
Jeff.
See,
yeah,
Jeff is second fastest.
All right, so this is a Google story. It does involve Apple, but it's a Google story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no secret, Google has bought the default search engine spot on Apple's devices.
Mm-hmm.
And so the EU is looking into this whole thing with Google buying their search spot. And what it really comes down to is how much money is Google spending on this? And because they can outspend everyone else, are they creating an unfair competitive environment? Because no one else can throw over $1 billion at Apple to be the default search engine. So the UK is looking at this, and I believe the EU is as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's see, what is it? £1.2 billion.
We just found a feature that's going to come up in the next iOS, the ability to choose your own search engine.
Oh, you can. No, that's already.
I think you can do that now, can't you? Yeah,
you can do that.
You can.
Yeah, but like Google, I mean, I kind of wonder like who else Google pays for this. I mean, they do, like Microsoft doesn't do it. I think Bing is still the default.
Google isn't the only company that's buying their position.
Mm.
It just so happens that Google is outspending everyone else.
Yeah, because they can.
Yeah, because they can, right. Mm. So is this anti-competitive, or is this just a matter of a company that can afford to pay what Apple is happy to take?
I'm wondering if this is not just, it was a bidding war, which is perfectly all right to do, and Google won the bidding war. That'd be like someone going to an auction and saying, well, that person bought the painting because they outspent me. I think there should be regulation on that.
Yeah, or I don't know if this is the best comparison, like when the U.S. government chose Microsoft for new services instead of Amazon, and now Amazon is complaining about that.
Because it's a win-win for Apple, isn't it? Because one, they get the 1.2 billion quid.
Yeah.
And when people search in Safari on an iPhone, they get Google, and they're not going, what is this? Mm. It doesn't give me my search results. So they're getting the experience on other devices, Plus, they get a nice little paycheck for it as well. Because Google did it with Firefox as well a couple of years back.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not so sure about the win-win part. I mean, yeah, for sure, Apple gets a chunk of money. And I don't think they hate that. But I'm pretty sure they have some privacy concerns with like the whole deal. And they're trying probably to limit that as far as they can within the deal.
Well, maybe that could be part of where this EU concern is. That Apple users, maybe it's because Apple users aren't being properly informed. And Apple users tend to be the most blindly trusting of the user base. Computers, because they expect, because Apple computers for most part operate exactly as they're expected to. They're basically appliances to do tasks, which for their user base is exactly what they want. The problem is when you put, it's basically could be a little bit of a wolf in the hen house situation where you're putting Google in there, who is notoriously, you know, coming up with more and advanced ways to try and get data to be able to provide either sellable information or to market their own ad revenue or whatever, for whatever other purposes, being passed on to Apple customers without their Apple customers basically being informed or really being given the upfront ability to say, okay, well, I paid $3,000 for this laptop, but now it's going to feed my information to Google every time I do a search.
Yeah. I mean, unless you change it, which, I mean, one, you have to know that you can change it and know where to change it.
Now, on iOS, and I might be misremembering, but I thought on iOS, when you set up a new device, part of the setup process tells you, hey, Google is your default browser. Here's your other choices.
No, it doesn't. Definitely not on iOS.
So apparently I dreamt a really great onboarding feature.
Yeah, you did. No, it does not ask you about other browsers at all. It doesn't even ask you about search engines. It's like if you know where you can find it in the settings and can change it, but it's not anything that is even anywhere prominently featured.
You got to go hunting for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is not difficult to change.
Below a few menus.
All right, let's see how deep it is. Settings.
Probably browser.
Safari.
Yeah.
Search engine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only, what, three taps? That said, I've been using these devices long enough. I had a really good idea where to go look, and I guessed right on the first try.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, too, does that also
You could always Google it.
You can always Google it, yes.
Now, does that also mean that that would have changed your search engine that's being used by Siri? Because I would imagine that this deal also includes all searches done by Siri to have the same information source.
That is a good
idea. Sorry, Siri doesn't do searches. It's just a recording that says it didn't understand what you said.
No, it tells you, here are the cinemas near you.
But at first it sends that information back to Google.
That's all it ever does. It goes, sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
As far as I understood it, the Siri search actually uses whatever is on your device. Might be wrong about that.
But the thing is that it wouldn't stand to reason that it would necessarily be under browser.
No,
because you just change the search engine for your browser. Mm-hmm. Would Siri have another search engine setting? Mm-hmm. And if so, do users, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like that's
and that the answer is right? There's not a separate setting in Siri for your search engine.
So maybe you can't change that. Maybe that could be what the EU is going on about, is that you can't change this setting, and now all of the users are going to be passing their information through Google, whether they want to or not.
I think the other thing is more than enough. The default, and they don't tell anybody like that they can change it really anywhere overtly, is Google. Like, unless you know that there's another option and you know where to change it, it is the default. And I would say 80-90%. Exactly. Yeah.
Most people don't. We do, but a lot of people don't know that there is something else other than Google.
And we're probably the people who have changed it away from Google.
Right. Yeah. But let's put it to the people. Let's put it to the people to decide. I was reading on that page that, you know, I was thinking, so who are these great competitors who would be so miffed at not getting this deal with Apple? And it's like Microsoft Bing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask the people, which search engine have you heard of that you think is quite good. There's Google, you know, the verb.
Yeah, and then there's nothing.
And there's Bing, and they go, whoa.
Who?
All right, don't worry about Bing. Maybe you want to use Yahoo. Anyway, once you pick them up off the floor because they're pissing themselves laughing, you know, everyone's going to want to Google anyway. And then I saw DuckDuckGo. I mean, that's what most people I know use, but I've no idea how they make any money. I mean, no idea at all. So I doubt that they would have 1.2 billion to give to anybody.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem. Google has such a power in the search engine market. I mean, it's basically market share-wise. It's Google, and basically that's it. Like, the others are insignificant.
That's capitalism. We change the politics, the EU.
It is capitalism, yes. But on the other hand, there are, like, certain things are regulated. Like telecoms, for example, they are regulated. It's not a free market everywhere. And this maybe, like, and I think that's why the UK and the EU and probably others are looking into this. Maybe there should be more regulation on this, that Google cannot, just because they are the biggest one and have the most money and siphon off all the data they can get their hands on. Maybe they shouldn't be allowed to pay someone else to be the default. Maybe there should be more options and more competition. Kind of like the browser thing with Microsoft.
I think what I was thinking at the back of my mind was, the problem is, apart from all the kind of, you know, grabbing all your data and everything, Google search is pretty good.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody. You know, I mean, it's good, and it is fast, and it's relevant. If you know what's an ad and what's a search result, you know, if you can tell the difference between the two, it's actually really, really good. And it becomes really difficult to go, no, I really must have Yahoo. You know, it's like,
yeah, no, but the problem
there's
is
a round of applause of people slapping their foreheads going, oh.
Yeah, no, this is the problem, though, is that Google gets to stay really good and nobody else gets to become good, because they will never get the opportunity to, because Google is just buying the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no competition. Capitalism requires competition. Where there's no capitalism.
Well, Yahoo hasn't had the opportunity. I mean, they were there in the early 90s. They've had the opportunity. I think it's time for them to just vanish.
Well, I mean, and Yahoo sold out to their search engine to Bing anyhow. So when you do a Yahoo search, it's powered by Bing.
Yeah.
So
I understand it's that, probably, but what I'm it's saying probably is meant...
your argument for capitalism no longer works if it's not capitalism. Yeah. And what people are saying, and what the visibility is that there is no capitalism, because Google just goes in and pays whatever they want, and nobody else gets to compete, because there is no competition. So there is no opportunity for new browsers.
It's like Premier League football, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And so if you end up with that, that ends up stifling, basically that stifles technology, because Google will just keep honing the pieces that work better for it, without necessarily having to, like, yeah, the search engine is great. Is it the best thing it can be? Probably not, because with some competition, they will be forced to up their game, create better quality, different kinds of searches, better image searching, better audio searching, better types of elements to help evolve and expand and enhance machine learning overall. All of these things came, all of these technologies and these things that we're all using now came from the competition that happened 20 years ago. And for the last 20 years, all these competitions have happened. As these companies start to level themselves out and buy out the playing fields, Facebook buys up all of the different social medias that they can get hold of. Google has either eradicated or bought up all the search engines that Microsoft wasn't able to grab hold of. And now, so you've got Microsoft and Google, which Microsoft keeps, unfortunately, dropping the ball on everything it touches in that arena. But there's almost no room, there's no real competition ability for anybody new to join any of these fields. Because what happened
So what you're going to do is, because if you can't put it out for a vote, because everyone knows everyone would vote for Google because it's the only one they've heard of, then it becomes a bunch of people sitting in office goes, right, okay, we're going to make everyone in the world use Lycos. And everyone goes,
the thing is if there are rules in these competitions that they have to offer different options, then there is at least a reason for someone to start working on improving technologies and building something that can compete purely on its ability to do things. It is not unforeseeable that someone could make a better algorithm or come up with better algorithms for search than Google has.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should stop Apple.
They would never
and then get someone else to do in a version of the Mac OS. Stop them have their monopoly on that as well.
Well, but that's different. There's no monopoly on operating.
But there's no monopoly because Apple has what 7 or 8% of the PC market share. Yeah. It's not big enough to be a monopoly. If Microsoft had all of the desktop office share or market share, and it was billions of devices, or you know, if it was a billion devices and there are no other PC or no other desktop computers out there, this same thing would be applicable to them. But you have Linux, you have Mac, and you have PC. So you have different form factors for that type of computing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to search, these are closing. Same thing with different social medias. All of these are being funneled into single monolithic entities, which the worst part of it is they are mercilessly and without any kind of thought for how they're, you know, what the implications are. They are harvesting data on people and then using it for whatever they see fit at the time. And as we have seen over the last few years, none of these companies have been super fantastic at keeping that data completely private. So when the cost initiative isn't, you know, to maintain the privacy of the information, but to focus on how do we get the most money out of the information, holes end up evolving and appearing. And that's where people's information gets lost. So there's a lot of concerns in having, if all the information about people is in Facebook and Google, guess where everybody that wants information on people is going to go to attack. Mm-hmm. And if you put all of the attacks focused on the one spot, Windows has proven if everybody's attacking one system, they will all find the holes.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why the Mac OS for the longest time had this claim that they were completely immune to viruses and you couldn't get a virus on a Mac. No, they didn't get viruses on Mac because they didn't have a market share big enough to even attract the attention of people writing viruses.
Absolutely.
As they got market share that was large enough. Guess what? All of those notifications, all of those claims went away because there are viruses for Macs now. Mm. Because people are saying, hey, listen, this is an untapped resource. We can go after these. Mm. This is the other fear of having only one search engine, especially one that harvests data about people, and only one major social network, right?
I'd like to know how that would be sorted out, because I mean, honestly, don't believe Apple went, oh, who's the biggest bidder? Google, right? We'll use them. I think they, you know, it's a bit of both, with a lot of money, and they're very good at what they do.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Google just went up to Apple and said.
You know, let's regulate it. I'm all for regulation. I just want to know how that would be regulated.
I'm curious to see if there was any bid. I'm curious to see if there was any bid, and if it wasn't just Google going, hey, we'll give you $1 billion if you let us be the search engine. And Apple went,
yeah, all I'm trying to avoid is someone in an office somewhere at the EU saying, we're going to have to give priority to Ask Fucking Jeeves. And then we're all back to square one again.
No, but I think that what would probably happen is if they put the regulation in place and they made it so that there had to be bids and there had to be, you know, options, because like I said, chances are there's a good chance that it was just Google went to Apple one day and said, hey, we'll give you this chunk of money. We'll be the search engine. Yeah. That would be the first thing would spike the EU to go, hey, wait a minute. There was no bid. There was no nothing. Nothing was publicly stated. Nothing happened. You just let this company buy their way into your customer base's information.
Yep.
And that to me is egregious.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if they put regulations in, you're not wrong. There's a good chance that the one that comes up and goes, hey, this is our time for search. Here's our search results for search. They would have a standard test to say, you know, what would make the appropriate search engine? What kind of results they're looking for? What kind of information they're looking for? And Google will probably kill that for the foreseeable future. But at least the opening is there for someone else to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone can come in and match those needs and match that,
and be good at marketing. because and they be still have to do that.
Be good at marketing. Exactly. And be good at marketing and all of that stuff. Then there is a chance for those technologies. Not only would it be a chance for other companies to break in, but it would also force Google to keep working on making their services better, because they would always have to watch that there's something nipping at their heels. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're like, yeah, we're going to stay where we are. We're going to focus on the harvesting part and the monetization part, but we're going to screw the new search abilities and this and that. So what happens is we get stuck with the same old tech, essentially, for the next 10 years while they make money after money after money after money. And yet they've also blocked any new possible search tech from really happening, because why would I bother? Google's got all of these devices, most of these devices. The game's over.
Speaking of new tech, Atle, you have also a story you wanted to bring. It's about LG bringing up roll-up smartphones to the market.
This is interesting because this is a form factor that kept getting played in sci-fi shows and everything, especially in the 80s and 90s, where the person would have like a post, they would carry around something that looked like a pen or something, and they would rip out a screen and they would look at it and everything else. And that's essentially what LG is creating, is a smartphone that has the smartphone screen and everything, but you have this piece on the side that you can pull out and it's flexible and it more than triples the size of the screen.
Ooh,
that's pretty cool.
You know, I saw this display at CES a few years ago, and it was really cool, and at the same time looked like a technological disaster waiting to happen.
Well, that was the question. That's my discussion is, are we going to end up in a Samsung Fold type scenario, only X worse?
Well, I mean, every technology starts like that. So, I mean, I would say it's promising. And the fact that LG is doing it is actually very interesting because, I mean, they're providing a lot of displays to other manufacturers.
So I say, very few people know displays as well as LG does. So
yeah, exactly.
It's interesting to see them working on this.
If they are working on this and if they can figure it out, then they can roll that out to other, or like sell that to other manufacturers. And I think that would be interesting.
What I like about this form factor is it solves that whole, I want more screen, but I don't want an excessively heavier device. And I also don't want something that's a lot bulkier and is this weird, like I got to twist and turn and flip and I've got this screen on this side, but then I open this and I got these screens on the inside. It actually looks like when it's closed up, it would have no more vulnerable space than a normal cell phone too. Like dropping it isn't likely to break the foldable screen when it's closed up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have one of these multi-fold devices, like say the Duo or something like that, it's, you know, you drop it and you're like, oh, did I, it's more like a, with an iPhone, did I drop the front? Did I drop the back? The Duo is like, did I drop the front? Did I break the front? Did I break the back? Did I break the middle? Whereas this is just, you're back to worrying about one screen.
Does it wrap around the existing hard bit? Just what, looking at the specs,
it, or does it slide out or something?
Or no, it slides out.
Literally, like I said, it reminds me of those 80 those movies, like Judge Dredd and stuff like that, where they went and the screen came out. And it's
wrapping it around. Looks like a Wonka bar.
You know what? The first app will be a golden ticket.
The size. It's a smaller size than the normal phones we're getting, because everybody's going bigger, but LG seems to be.
Yeah, because
no, let's keep it at a reasonable handheld size.
Yeah.
And then we want a bigger screen. Here's a bigger screen.
Yeah.
Screen, yeah.
Yeah, which
that's
is
quite a good idea.
It's nice to have a bigger screen and have to use two hands just for the bigger screen than to always have to use the big two hands for the one screen. Like you still have a phone that you can use all with one hand when you want to do different things, instead of like these monstrosities that we're getting that are basically, we're walking around with tablets that we had in, you know, 2010, 2012. And those are our phones now.
Yeah. And the cool thing about the rolling phone is that it's less vulnerable than the folding screen, because there's no stress point, or there shouldn't be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean there's no stress point? There's a fold.
If it rolls up, then there shouldn't be a fold, and the fold, so it's less stress points. The problem with the folding
screen, I'm looking for a picture where they're rolling it, but all I can see is where they folded it.
Folded, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, they've curved it in so they could stand it up so that it acts like its own brace. But what the idea is that the screen actually goes into the phone, slides into the side. The only thing that I'd be worrying about, that would be the most expensive little spring in the world in the bottom, that roll-up spring.
Well, I'm not seeing any rolling in these pictures. Mm. The first time I read about the rolling screens was about 1988.
Yeah, and what they also said...
I'm still waiting.
Well, they've been working on it since then, probably. Yeah. Well, no, we know that they have a very malleable screen now that they can actually bend to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. When it has a right angle bend or a straight 180 degree angle fold, like a full fold on it, it ends up, like you said, putting a lot more stress. Mm-hmm. But it says right here, a rolling screen is considered better than a folding screen, as it avoids specific stress points, and the screen is better protected when not in use. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go
ahead, sorry.
Yes, I'm just looking at it from here. When the screen is pulled out, the front screen then goes off.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you only get an extra half a screen, but three times the width.
Mm. No, it's the screen, the part that pulls out is more than twice as wide as the phone is itself.
Mm. Okay.
So, but when the phone's folded up, is the front of it part of the rolling screen? Because in the in the second to last picture, the screen's inside and it's got a front screen, which would be the mm-hmm. screen on the front. Then you've got the folding bit, the rolling bit that comes out, but the screen is black.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only actually getting half an extra screen, but
you're getting the same thing as you get on a folding screen. Only in a more durable form factor.
But with the world's largest bezel.
Yeah, effectively.
Kind of, yeah.
And the other...
With zero bezel on the extended part, though.
Yeah, but there's the whole... If it could use the third, you know, if it was three screens across, then...
But there's a problem with that, because the three screens across, you couldn't swipe all the way across, because look at the difference. Mm. You have a drop-off, which is probably why the screen turns off, because anything that you want to do on the screen, swiping, moving, playing a game, doing any of that stuff, you'll want to do on one flat continuous surface.
But then if I want to play a game where I've got my hands either side, I can't, my left hand can't touch the screen because the black bit is there.
You might have to turn it around.
Yeah, that's where you would hold that. That's where you would hold it anyway, right?
Mm.
Most likely.
Hmm. Thing is, they've got a lot of faith in Android developers, because there's so many different form factors coming out, and they're saying, right, this is the folding phone, this is the rolling phone, this folds inside out, this, you know, they're going to choose one. You know, like the Duo from Microsoft, that's only going to work if...
Well, I think the Android developers have kind of proven themselves over the fact that there's literally so many different form factors just with one screen.
And they barely work.
What? No, I'm just... No, I'm saying that Android developers have actually done okay with the fact that there's so many different screen factors. It's the one thing that Windows Phone and Apple have never really dealt with or had to deal with. Mm. Is Apple has only got a couple of different form factors at any given time. Android, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of different models released every year.
Yeah,
all different sizes and specifications.
They couldn't do tablets, though.
Yeah. To this day, they can, which is something Apple has done. Like they have gone from desktop size now all the way down to phone size, different phone mm-hmm. sizes even. So
that's why Android tablets failed, because the operating system couldn't scale, mm-hmm. and they were like 7-inch tablets.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job of scaling on the Android tablets. So I mean.
That's the question. I mean, is it possible that, I mean, I don't even think it's just developers, it's Google as well. Like, I mean, Google has to provide the tools that developers use to
actually... Well, exactly, and the base libraries that run the operating mm-hmm. system and allow the scaling and everything.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that Android was having that trouble with scaling the same time Apple was, because remember the first apps on Apple iPads were just basically, some of them were just a phone app in the middle of the screen.
Yeah, and totally.
It didn't scale at all. It was just like, oh, great, I get to use my phone app, but I have to now reach all the way across this.
Yeah, or it was like a Zoom version.
Some are still that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Like I know. Instagram.
Never updated. Oh, yeah, Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah. It should be called Instagram at this point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but no, I think the funny thing is that it sort of seems like Apple just went, screw tablets. We'll just do phones. And they never really sort of attacked that ability to properly scale up and down on screens, which is really weird because they have the whole DeX. Samsung has the DeX interface. And I think there's another thing for another company too, that does the scaling beautifully. So you can actually just plug in an external monitor and it acts just like a PC.
Yeah, I mean,
it's beautiful scale.
As you said, like, given that there are so many different phones with different sizes, you would think that like Android would be awesome at scaling to different things, because they kind of have to. And like, yeah, as you can see, it's not just that.
Yeah, no, of course. It is an interesting form factor. I'm excited to see this. Like, I will definitely grab one when they come out. Just like I'll get one of the Duos when they come out as well. But I think that this one actually might end up, I might use this more than I would use the Duo.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If the phone has to be set on a surface to use the screen when it's expanded out, at that point, I don't see any value in it for me.
That's true.
Well, I think that if, when you're using a tablet, you're basically holding it with one hand and doing most of the things with the other hand, right? You're holding it and doing this and a couple of things with your thumb. That's not going to change drastically with that form factor. If holding it out, the screen will probably be fairly light, but it'll stay, hopefully it'll stay rigid enough to be able to just hold it up like a tablet and do that.
I'm wondering how it would
bend and move. That's the curious thing is, they don't show here how they're going to do the ends, the top and the bottom, to see how that would roll out to add support or structure to it. And I'm really curious to see what that would be like. Because, yeah, I agree. Having to put it down on the table to use it as a longer device would definitely very greatly minimize the usability of it in that form factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was actually an issue for me when I looked at the earlier versions of these displays at CES, because there was nothing that added any sort of rigidity to them. So, it's like holding a piece of paper all wavy. And
exactly. A lot of them were almost like a fabric. Like, it was fantastic that they made a fabric with pixels in it, but you couldn't really do much with it unless you had it, you smooth it out. Like, you'd have it laid out.
You could have put it to your, like, stuck it to your wall and used that, like, as a TV or something.
That would be the really interesting thing. I would love to see a screen like this, but sold like a TV screen, so that you could literally put it up like a piece, like a painting with a frame and everything else. And you could actually have it display a particular piece of art that you like.
Yeah, LG made that. Like.
Oh, David.
Yeah, exactly. and then when it came, when you want to use it, I remember seeing the borderless for TVs. I almost bought one of those, and I just never ended up getting one.
I mean, almost every TV now is borderless.
Yeah, what LG made, and again, CES, so I don't remember if it was 2 years ago, might have been 2 years ago, where you buy, it looks like a big, long poster shipping box, you know, where you'd roll up a poster and stick it inside. You set this thing on your TV stand, and then when you hit a button,
it
rolls up.
Oh,
so it has like these arms that fold.
Like a movie screen.
It comes up like a movie screen, and it's the whole television.
Yeah.
And when you're done watching,
first thing that will break.
Yeah.
When your children are playing, like,
in the living room. That is not for a household with kids in it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is not something that you buy when you have children.
No, I mean, it's one of those things, but
that's true. It's one of those things, the kids will break it, and that's what you'll roll their body up.
Google is still in the smart glasses business.
Yeah. So they've just bought an AR company. This company mainly does augmented reality, but they also do glasses. I had a look and see They've got a Focal, I think it's called Focals by North. Mm-hmm. But it seems they might be getting back into the game of Google Glass, might be coming back, but more improved Google Glass. Because the glasses that this company has made actually look like normal glasses and something that you would wear. The frames are too big for my face, but interesting to see what they do come up with.
Yeah. Of a picture enough, of the actual frames.
So if you, not of the...
they do look very Harry Hill, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Google said...
They look like normal glasses.
Yeah. I mean, true. I remember when Google kind of stopped the Google Glass like rollout in the project, or actually they said they didn't stop the project. They just said they're not doing anything for consumers anymore.
Yeah,
so
they might be coming back.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they have kept working on it.
I guess because initially, I mean, obviously with all the privacy concerns that everybody had, maybe they think they've dealt with it or they've got another way to manage that.
Yeah, or the technology is simply better now after like a couple of years. I mean, how long has that been? Like 5 years? Maybe 6 years?
It feels like forever ago.
It does. It feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like another century almost.
Yeah, it's been more than three haircuts ago.
That's true.
Well, I hope the EU makes sure that Yahoo has a set of glasses on the way as well.
On the way. It's a Canadian company, so I was wondering, Atlee, if you've ever heard of them.
Which company?
The North.
The North? There's so many things here called North. Honestly, we have clothing companies, we have everything else. I haven't.
Yeah, so, I mean... Are you guys excited about AR glasses if they like look like this, for example?
I saw this story this morning, and I was quite relieved because, like the story says, we all made jokes about glass holes. I was actually quite disappointed when they shelved the public beta when they were selling these to developers. Because I thought, actually, it sounds like a really, really good idea. You know, I was just making fun of them in public. So I'm glad someone's kind of picked it up and started running with it, because everyone was a fan. Everyone who ever tried to develop anything on it, they just loved it.
Yeah, I think if you used it, you know, you got the point of it. It just looked dorky.
Oh, but some of my colleagues were developing on it, and they just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. And I mean, the difference is the nerdy look. I mean, nowadays is quite popular, so like, I don't think anybody would even mind.
Only with other nerds.
I think if you're a glass wearer, then if you already wear glasses, that there's a challenge there, isn't there? But then if this company has done something, is that... Focals one is a their prescription glasses, so I'd be interested to see what they come up with and how they handle the frames. I think being able to have more than one kind of frame,
interesting,
and then obviously the privacy issues.
Yeah,
I mean the privacy issues are rather easy to solve. Just don't ship it with a camera.
Yeah,
because Amazon did those glasses. Last year, didn't they? But it was just audio with Alexa.
I didn't even remember that.
I'd forgotten about those already.
Yeah.
but that was just audio. I can understand, you know, it feeding audio in the same way, you know, they're saying like AirPods and wearables, you know, useful wearables. Getting an audio input is okay. I think seeing things that people can't see that you're seeing, say you bring up information about them or whatever, that makes people nervous. Hearing it is another thing, but you know, it's not as intrusive. And also the distraction factor. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like when everyone got Apple Watches and everyone's looking at their watch and look like you're bored. Everyone's looking up and there's a top right-hand corner of their eye.
Yeah. But people get used to that apparently pretty quickly. Like now, I mean, nowadays people, like at least I've noticed, nobody cares if you look at your Apple Watch.
Oh, I'm used to people ignoring me. That's fine.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know,
can we get some smart X-ray glasses. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Ooh.
Not in Norwich.
Did you ever take those X-ray glasses apart? It was just a feather inside.
Who knows how long it's going to be before someone writes an app for those glasses to make it look like you've gotten rid of the clothes on whatever person using, you know.
Oh, yeah. They will sell it to Boris Johnson, no problem.
Day one.
Immediately.
Day one.
Immediately. Yep. That will be the first successful app on that entire platform. Is the sex fart, race specs.
The fart app of the glasses, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought about that, but mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. Mm-hmm. The first app will be undress.
Yes, Jeff, I hadn't thought about it at all either, no.
Jeff is now pre-ordering his.
You know, the sad thing is, you'd think that I would have thought of that immediately. But for some reason, I got totally fixated on the idea of smart glasses that are also smart in the sense that they have adaptive prescription. Mm-hmm. So instead of having to get special lenses that you have to swap out every single time you need a new prescription, mm-hmm. you can program your prescription into the glasses.
Ooh,
and that'd be cool. Then the lenses change their focus for your eyes, and if you need to do progressive lenses like I do because my vision is so crappy, then let it account for that as well. And when your prescription changes, instead of having to spend my main glasses, this is $1,200 right here.
Yeah, mine are $1,400.
And let's say I end up having to spend $1,200, $1,400 on a pair of glasses and never replace them. Yeah. That's an amazing investment for me.
Yeah, but the frames are going to be really good. I mean,
depending on how good these frames are going to be, because
I mean, I'm really mad that I paid $400 for these frames. And I don't know if you can see it, but all the colors starting to come off in different spots anywhere where it's touching. And I was really excited about wearing these glasses because I really like these glasses and being able to wear them for years and years and years.
They look good.
And now I'm already going to go and look for another set of glasses. And I'm sorry, it's not easy to find really nice orange glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And these, this is the second set of lenses in this frame.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. So a good frame is critical.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if
I was going to say, sorry, I'll interrupt, but a few years ago, there was a company that was trying to get Google Glass to work on contact lenses. And I was trying to look them up.
I remember that.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I would be.
Me too. Now going back to CES
lenses,
again,
right? Not soft lenses.
Well, I think the version I saw had wires coming out of them as well. I don't think that's how it works.
Yes, that's the version that I saw.
Yeah.
And it was a prototype, of course.
I would.
And what they did to show how they worked, and I believe those even would adapt the focus as well. Mm-hmm. They had them mounted on this little frame with the wires coming off, and then you'd go and put your face up against the frame and the lenses never actually touched your eye, mm-hmm. but it was close. And it was really interesting how it worked. And of course, now there's no way first that we would even go to CES because we don't want to die, but then put our faces that close to.
I was literally thinking about that. I was like, nowadays nobody would do that.
He's thinking about all the things we did just a year ago that we're looking at going, oh my God, that's so disgusting.
Yeah. That's so
true.
We've all become Howie Mandel.
Just thinking back on when you were saying the glasses, being able to have like your prescription on there. I was thinking it'd be cool as well if they could actually scan your eyes, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't have to go for the full on, you could have
eye
test.
Yeah. Or have an exam that you can do, basically have it ship with an eye chart that you could actually check your own eyes and just update your software settings mm-hmm. occasionally. Mm-hmm. So then your eyes could stay more consistently clear throughout You know, because right now I think what do you normally get an eye exam every couple of years or whatever, and you know you could do, you could say we recommend you check your eyes every six months.
You could do the.
I could see you filling out the app, you know, where it says, "Is it better like first, second, or is it just the same?" And you'd be like, I don't know. Show me again.
I don't know.
It's kind of a bit. I don't. I don't know.
I would just be talking to it. Obviously, it would be audio. Voice recognition.
I was thinking
representative. Goddammit!
I was thinking about the genie thing. Like you would like. Let's go. Let me go to my settings.
Head motion.
Yeah, the first time the voice recognition doesn't recognize your voice properly, and all of a sudden you're like, "I'm blind now." Thanks. You know, the first hack will be to turn off everybody's prescriptions.
Opposite, increase them to like whatever. Minus 90.
Everybody gets 1,000 Zoom. Everybody's walking around looking like Mr. Magoo, like
Exactly. Oh, that would be funny. Alistair, you have probably a couple of stories as always, right?
Well, I've got a choice. I can do something that's boring, but probably significant, something that's serious, that was this week's big news of the week, and one that was enough to make your hair stand on end. Shall I do all three? So that means I don't have to talk about them so much. So the first one I've put a link in, I'm not sure if I've done the link properly, let me just check, is... the story this week that in the UK they've given the go-ahead for rental electric scooters to go for a year-long trial to let them basically drive all over the place legally. It's probably the same in the States and other countries, but these electric scooters are illegal everywhere according to local bylaws. You can't ride them on the road. You can't ride them on the pavement. That's actually the same for skateboards in most places. You're not allowed to, I think if you just hold them in the wrong hand in your bedroom, they're illegal. You know, there's something strange about bylaws. So I don't think it's just London. I think it is in Britain, and they're allowing local authorities to choose to go along with it or not. But they reckon a year-long trial. Imagine they're all going to be on the pavement as usual. As a pedestrian, do the usual thing. It's safer to walk on the road.
Thrown in the locks. They'll be thrown in the locks, and they'll be upside down in garbage cans, and they'll be
As soon as they become
mainstream.
As soon as you're allowed to do them, they'll be back. No one will want to do it anymore.
I've seen a couple. Like I mean, they've been around here ever since I've been here. But last couple of days, I've seen quite a few of them in the middle of the sidewalk, like right in the middle.
Yeah, so I think the rental companies put them there because it's like advertising.
Oh, probably, yeah.
and certainly in France, if they do that, they get the police just confiscate them, take them away.
Yeah, it would same thing if, happen to you.
But anyway, I thought, okay, so someone's treating them seriously. I'm not a big fan myself, but I do understand. I completely understand about electric scooters. It's not about the travel, it's about the arrival. So I like kind of walking, and I like on a bicycle, but at least when you're walking you arrive and your hands free. With a bicycle, it is a nightmare trying to find somewhere safe to lock it up, and you have to get like 5 padlocks out. And on an electric scooter, you just fold it up, tuck it under your arm, and you walk inside. And you just stick it under a desk or something. I can see the appeal.
Yeah, or with a rental scooter, you don't even do that. You just literally...
just leave it in the middle of the road, and the police take it away
for you. Exactly, perfect. Right?
So the thing with rental scooters is, see my earlier comment about things we thought were great a year ago but are disgusting now. After the post-COVID world, are people going to want to be going, I'm just going to pick up this scooter off the ground and put my hands on it, and then I'm going to go wherever I'm going, and the first thing I'll do when I get there is probably wipe the sweat off my face.
See the problem with the rental bikes. I don't know what it's like elsewhere, but in London, when they had the first set of bikes, is, you know, you had to kind of register, and you took it out of a special biking pod
rack parking or place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you had to leave it there again because you were paying for, you know, per hour or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you had all these other companies coming with their stupid orange bites that were like a pile of shit, and they would just leave them all over the place. Mm. And that's just awful because you're tripping over them, blind people are falling over them, and they're just, you know, they're lying flat and you have to tiptoe around them and kids fall on them and no one cares. And I'm thinking, well, you know,
exactly.
Maybe that's they could do something or think a little bit further, but they've got a year to work it out, basically. Yeah. Can I go on to my next story? Because it's far more important.
Sure.
And I think it's a bigger story of the week, which is this story about the police cracking EncroChat.
Oh, yeah.
It's this, the encrypted phones that they thought all the... I don't know, it's funny. These encrypted phones cost you like, whatever, £1,000. And then you have like this really expensive, which isn't very much for a phone when you think about it, but this kind of expensive, what was it, $9,000 contract. And they're all kind of special encrypted. Who are they going to sell them to? Well, Ed Snowden will probably bought one. And who else? Oh, a lot of criminals bought them. And all the intelligence services bought them as well. So all the intelligence services with their copies, they cracked it. And then they caught up with the criminals this month or last month. So that, I thought that was quite fun in a way, is that they'd, I don't know what people were thinking of buying them, but the criminals tend not to be too clever, do they? To think, oh yeah, only other criminals will buy this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be learned there. What I liked was actually in the same week that happened, Bitium was trying to market an encrypted phone.
Oh, clever.
Put the link in. Bad timing.
So well, they're Bitium Tough Mobile 2 CMOS smartphones.
That's true.
It's exactly the same market, which is people who want a phone that you are supposed to be ultimately secure, which it may be.
For a while.
You've got to think about who's actually going to buy those. Mm-hmm. What I really enjoyed about the story, that the police cracking the story, is all the photographs that they released all the photographs of drugs and guns.
Yeah, I mean...
Some of my colleagues are into guns were saying, I don't recognize this one. What's this? You know, and other people coming on saying, I think my Action Man had one of those, you know.
They're sure there are criminals who might use something like this, even though I think I've heard that most criminals will actually, like the smarter ones will just not use technology at all because anything can be cracked.
Stand on street corners going, you, what a word.
No, but I mean, there are groups of people where I can understand that they might want to use encrypted phones. I mean, anybody working like in a high position in government, like anybody working in like law enforcement or like in the things like the NSA or the GCHQ in the UK or the MI6 or whatever, like anybody working in the intelligence community, I can understand that there are people that need encrypted phones.
Oh, and anybody who considers tinfoil a fashion accessory.
Absolutely. Those those people too. I mean, the thing to remember is anything can be cracked. It's just a matter of time.
If it's made by people, they'll break it.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately, it's only math. Like, math is the only thing that protects it. And if, like, there's a flaw in math or if, like, the technology progresses far enough that the math becomes easy, then it's cracked. So, I mean, we've like... Now at this point, centuries of proof for that. So I mean, anybody who thinks if they buy this super encrypted whatever, and everything is going to be secure, is just lying to themselves or just not.
Yeah, but we still have a fair number of people on the planet that think it's still flat. So
okay, yeah,
still a market.
Good,
I don't know.
Good point. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point.
I'm just looking at the specs of this phone. Mm-hmm. So they say dual OS. So I guess it runs Android and something else. It's dual SIM battery. So they want to keep their stuff quiet and encrypted so no one can hear it. But it has high quality speakers. which is perfect.
Which is I would say that your security phone should probably not have a speakerphone technology.
No.
Yeah. No, which is funny enough how a lot of secret information is leaked. Because someone on their phone while they're out and about doesn't think about what they're doing and they just talk. It's all they have to do. Someone listens, that's it.
One of my favorite games used to be if I was somewhere in public and someone was having a loud conversation on their phone, I would just answer whatever questions they were saying.
Yep, yep. I've done that. Wasn't there a...
Anyway.
Yeah, wasn't there a Little Britain bit about like someone with a massive phone like screaming into it?
Yeah.
I seem to
remember that. Dom Jolly. Yeah. That was years ago. Blimey, Dom Jolly with his gigantic phone. Yeah.
Hello, hello,
yeah.
Hello. I'm on my mobile.
Yeah, it's really stupid here.
I'm on my mobile.
Who was it? Was it the Ericsson that you used to carry? Like the big brick Ericsson.
Yeah, it was a huge. It was very much like one of those huge brick phones, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it was always in the mall, wasn't it, or on the street?
Yeah, or in the movie
on the beach. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've just pasted in another link. It was the slightly more worrying story of the week, which was, I couldn't find this anywhere else but in France, funnily enough. So sorry, I'm not going to translate it all, but Ubisoft, the games company, is now a subject of an awful lot of women pointing out that they were sexually harassed while working there. And lots of them. Mm-hmm. Over and over again. And after Libération published this, and the link, you won't be able to read it. As soon as you click on it, it wants you to subscribe. But if you can see the front cover of the, you know, the guy wearing the jeans with a PlayStation handset stuffed into his zip, that's the front page of, this is a daily newspaper, yeah? The daily national newspaper. That's the front page. And the story covers pages 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
Wow.
And that was on Thursday.
That's a massive story.
So it was a full reportage was their story of the day with everything else going on. And where I live, there's a Ubisoft, they have a fairly big office. Actually, it's about 25-minute walk away from my front door. I don't think they're involved. They were worried about the site, which I've seen it misprinted several times now as... Montreal. It's actually Montreux near Paris, where all this is happening. And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of almost being revealed at the same time. I don't know if you've heard it in the comics industry, Dark Horse Comics is also having a bit of a problem here as well. And it's to do with, it's the same thing again. So it's, you know, people being propositioned, sexually harassed or even attacked when no one else is watching. And when they try and complain to human resources, they get told, well, you know, if we upset that person, you know, we're going to lose this deal or they're friends with someone famous or, you know, don't worry a pretty little head about it, dear. You know, it'll get sorted. Nothing ever gets done.
I just posted several links in English to it.
Mm-hmm.
To different parts of the story. Right. I just posted several links in English to parts of the story. There's executives leaving. There's all sorts of floods of
In fact, after they published it on yesterday, in fact, a bunch of other women came forward and said, oh, God, yes, I worked there as well. It was awful. I didn't, you know, I thought it was just me.
I've heard a lot of stories on Twitter about that. Just in case the listeners want to find all those links that we've posted and all the stories that Alistair and Adley have mentioned, you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then head to like navigate to the the 3rd of July around it should be around 8 p.m. 7 p.m. Actually around 8 p.m. UK time, and then you will find all the links we've mentioned. My story for today is another science story, another NASA story. Because the new spacesuits that NASA is finally designing after like 40 years of using, more than 40 years of using the same design, is getting a AI boost. They're basically going to use AI in the life support system for some reason. Like, I don't even understand why this like make sense or why they are doing this. I mean, I'm guessing a lot of smart people thought about this, or it's just a marketing thing so they can just say, oh, our new space suits have AI in them, just to like outwit the competition or something. I can't wait until the AI starts talking to the astronaut in the spacesuit and says, nope, I don't know, you're too stupid, or like I don't like you, and now I'm turning off your life support.
I'm sure.
I was just thinking.
Oh. I've decided that you're too dumb to live anymore, and I'm ejecting you out of the pod bay.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Bye, Dave.
What are you doing?
Joe, I'd love to have a backpack that went behind my head like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you want that, then just you should sign up for the space program, and then you could wear that.
You get a cool backpack.
You get a cool backpack.
Yeah, I'm scanning through this, and I'm not sure.
Brilliant belt.
Where the AI really does fit in.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't understood it. Go ahead, Howard.
But you know, on sci-fi movies, where they always have the when they're out in space and the thing is like, you've got 30% oxygen left or 10%, mm-hmm. maybe they saw that and they thought, oh, that would be a really cool thing to have.
Mm-hmm. Little voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Yeah.
It was just lonely up there.
I'm panicking, dum-dum. You're going to die.
Yes.
Yes. With you. Yes.
I'll
yes,
be with
Jeff.
You till
I
the
can
end.
Hear you scream.
Yeah, it's
in
kind
space,
of
space AI can hear you scream.
Oh, no. Oh, I think we have a show title.
Yeah. It's the life support system will be designed by artificial intelligence.
Because we couldn't find anybody smart enough to make one for females on Earth.
Oh,
true. So true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yep. This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network are supported by TSO Hosts. They're a really great hosting company, UK-based. They offer domain names. They offer like web hosting for your website. They have pre-built packages for WordPress and some other CMS systems. Obviously, they have servers. We have two of them. Have had them for, I have to look up how long it has been. It must have been like, I think 3 years or something. Two or three, and they've been rock solid so far. Like all the issues we've had were all caused by either me or Anders or someone else messing something up. It's very it was always us. Like it was never the server.
So use TSA host, not Patrice.
Exactly. You got it. Yeah. No, it's like it happens. But yeah, they've been great. They have really good support. I haven't really needed them, but I've seen some BTN listeners reach out to them because they had questions or had some issues or whatever, and they have been really great. And the cool thing is, like, all they want from us is not that we sign up for all their services. I mean, obviously, they're not going to say no to that, but all they want is brand recognition. So if you head over to your social media of choice, Twitter, Facebook, and mention them and just tell them that you like enjoy that they support BTN and that you really like that. That would be awesome. That's all they want. Like they said, you can sign up for something and there's an offer code BTN20 that will give you 20% off everything they have or everything they sold you. But you don't have to. Like it's all up to you. Like. But if you are in the market, then yeah, head over to tsohost.com, use the offer code BTN20, and you will get 20% off.
If you're not in the market, tell everybody about it through social media, because maybe someone that you know or you don't know follows you is looking for an interesting hosting solution.
Absolutely. And yeah. The other sponsor is iMentMax, and even though Callum is not here today on the big show, we had a chance to talk on the Mac show about it. iMentMax offers a lot of repairs, not just for Apple devices, not just for Macs. They also do data recovery, for example, for anything that has a hard drive. They don't care. They said, like, doesn't matter. They'll try their best to get the data off anything that's broken. They do repairs for non-Apple devices as well. Like just if you have something you want to get repaired, reach out to them and they will tell you whether they can do that and what, like whether it's doable even. Usually they, like, I mean, the other week we talked about a really crazy phone repair that they did where, like, I mean, I would have said that phone is like gone. Like it wasn't even a phone. Like it was completely smashed and broken and like a truck rolled over it and whatever. They fixed it. Like it looked like new, like after that. So basically like new. It was probably basically new because they replaced most parts, but they did that. So yeah, they're really, really good at repairing anything that is for electronics. And they also have a, that's more Apple specific, but they have a refurbished store if you need any, if you want to buy any Apple devices for maybe a little bit cheaper. Yeah, so head over to imandmax.com. And if you mention BTN, you get 5% off, which is also, I think, pretty cool. Ladies and gentlemen, time for the cool thing. Hawa, start us off.
So I've kind of got two. One is, just a reminder that Hamilton is on Disney Plus.
Oh, yes.
At least in the US and the UK. So that started today, so people can watch. And then the other thing, which I've just posted into the chat room, is Sega, part of their, is it their 65th? I can't remember how long.
That's been a while.
They've released these tiny keychains. Well, they're going to release. Unfortunately, I think you can only get them in Japan.
Aww.
So if you know when someone's there. Yeah, I might give my brother a call and say, hey, could you get them for me?
Oh, we probably have connections.
Yeah. But they're releasing them on the keychain. And they're, you can also get, if you, I suppose, visually impaired or you can't see that well, but a magnifying glass that you can put over it to actually see the game. But nice. I just thought it was really cool that they're coming out with little keychains.
They're adorable.
Yeah, really,
that is cute. Fun, isn't it?
And I think there's a video on that thing, but it's predominantly in Japanese. So.
Which probably makes it even better.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Yes.
But yes.
Certainly cooler.
I've shared that. I've literally just shared that with Doc and Jerome, who are big Japan fans, and like Jerome's wife is Japanese, so... We might be able to get some.
My sister-in-law is Japanese, so yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool. That is amazing.
I love that.
It's it says the price is around $46. So
it's
actually pretty cool. It's a little like a little game that you can play.
A little game, yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's a really cool thing. It looks fun. Thanks for that. Alistair, what have you got for
us? Since we started on a theme, I've just put a link in. Someone's come up with, you know how it is, they come out with mini versions of old consoles. We've got the same thing again here. So I've got a Konami PC Engine Core Graphics mini console is now shipping. There you go. I never played on one in the old days, and I probably won't be buying this. I just thought it was small and cute. This is why I like the keychain one. I thought that was fun. But that's not all. What did interest me was someone's come up with something else, which I've just put a link into the chat room, which is someone's come up with, they've reproduced the VIC-20.
No.
Yes.
Oh. Well,
they're about to. They're about to.
Yeah.
So you can add it along with your, you know, your refurbished Spectrum and all that other stuff. The VIC-20, the one that you didn't know anyone else had, but you remembered the photograph.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone had a rainbow in their logo back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Fantastic stuff.
Oh, I remember.
So that is also available now. And one more thing, if I can just get the link from YouTube. Done. Let me just copy that in, which is this. Someone thought it'd be a fun idea to refer back to an astrophysicist's work from earlier this century about waveforms being emitted by stars and planets and hand them over to some musicians. So Brian Eno took those waveforms, sped them up, and now you can listen to them. Oh, so there you go. There's a YouTube link, and you can listen to the stars, basically, for about 2.5 minutes.
Well, if anyone is qualified to take the waveforms from stars and turn it into music, it's Brian Eno. Oh,
so, yeah, there you go. That's fun.
All right. That's a lot of fun. A lot of fun for a Friday afternoon or a Friday evening. Jeff, what have you got as a cool thing?
Well, I had no idea we were doing a game theme this week. Yet, I have a game. But I'm going analog. I am a big fan of Exploding Kittens, which is like a card-based game. Absolutely love it. Their latest expansion pack just came out, and it's called Barking Kittens. And mine showed up yesterday. Oh. I took the shrink wrap off, but I haven't opened it yet. So we're about to find out what's inside the Exploding Kittens.
An unboxing. An unboxing.
Oh, wow. We haven't had one of those in a while.
So, okay, first up, we have
a hat.
The crown. The cat crown. Cat crown, it says here.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Okay. Let me move the cat hat crown off to the side. We have instruction sheet, looks like.
So step one, put on head. Step two, be powerful. There is no step three.
It's like you're reading the instructions. And after all of that, here's the set of cards. So really, they need the big box for the hat.
The hat.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Expansion cards. Here we go. First card up. Alter the future. Is that focusing?
Yeah. Slightly. Yep.
Hold on. Is that helping? Nope.
Yeah, it's okay. We can.
But anyhow. Can see it. There we go. That's so I've got a bunch more cards for Exploding Kittens, mm-hmm. plus the hat. And this expansion pack is $14.99.
Yeah, the hat alone is easily worth $15, right?
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, cool. That's a really cool thing. Atlee, what's your cool thing today?
Well, I have been dealing with insane temperatures here on the coast for some reason, and so I found this really interesting personal air conditioning unit. And it basically can sit on your desk. You put a liter of water in the container, and it blows a very, very nice, calm mist at you and keeps you nice and cool. And you can power it all by the USB on your tablet or on your computer.
Oh, that's pretty
or
cool.
Plug it into a power source. So it's very, very cool. And it's very portable. So for me, super awesome because I can take it out on the deck. If I want to sit on the deck, I can sit on the deck and get nice, cool blast of fresh, moist air. So it's really, really nice. It's great for those days when it's super dry and super hot. And it's a little pricey. I think it's about £158. I actually put the link to a story about it that I saw and then link to the UK. And to the Canadian Amazon. But yeah, yes, it's very cool. That literally
sounds very cool.
I think a cool thing.
Very helpful.
Very meta.
Oh yeah, very meta. Very helpful.
15% off before July 15th.
Okay. Hey, nice. Yeah. So all right.
They're going to be kind of useful, especially for summer coming up. We're here.
Absolutely. Last but not least, we have Righty Boy. What's your cool thing?
Well, I'm a cheapskate. I'm not paying for things. But I do like my apps. So my thing, as I put it in the chat room, is the App Advice Daily Digest. A lot of people may have seen it before. It's a website and an app. But it tracks all of the apps that paid apps that go free. So it gives you kind of a breakdown every day of what's free. So it might be that the app's gone free from like $4.99 or the premium features. And it may not be an app that you want straight away, but you can, if you download it now, it's in your, you know, your app library. You can download it and use it again later. So yeah, if you're looking for premium apps, you know, there are some turds in there, but there are some like apps you actually heard of. It's worth just checking out every day. I get a little notification, and yeah, check it out.
Thank you. That sounds really cool. All right. Thank you, all of you, for being here. Thanks for the awesome panel. A lot of cool stories today. Howa, let the good listeners know where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter as Howie A, and I'm also in the BTM Slack room.
Yes, you are. And I can also recommend your Foodie Flashback episode. That is still one of my favorites.
I keep forgetting.
That was really good. Foodie Flashback.
Foodie Flashback. Yeah. And as I said earlier, the picture that you saw recently, that's what,
That
should probably swap out the the photo now and put the meat there instead.
Oh, I'll do that. Alistair, where can people find you?
Oh, well, I'm right here. If the doorbell doesn't work, just tap on the door, it'll be fine. If you want, you can go to medium.com and have a little look with my name. I decided to put a couple of stories there to see if they would earn me any money. Mm-hmm. I have to say I've earned 12 cents.
Ooh. You're rich.
Well done.
You're rich now. All of 12 cents. All right. Just, I'm guessing just look for Alistair Dabbs, right? Yeah, we'll find you.
There you go. Well, yeah.
Jeff, how about you?
How about Twitter and Instagram? I'm Jay Gamut, both places, on the shows here, and soon to be launching my new podcast.
Wow, I'm very excited.
Oh,
Jeffrey. Yep. So I'll have more news about that soon.
Yeah, he's teasing it every week a little bit. Soon we'll
know. I know how to work it.
Yes, you do. How about you, Adley?
You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at @AdleyHunter, and you can find me here or in the chat room.
Here in the chat room, yeah, every week. And last but by absolutely no means least, Righty.
Well, I've been writing stories on public toilet walls. I've been making a fortune.
Good for you.
You can find me at forums on Twitter and in the Slack room with all you lovely people.
Awesome. And you can find everything I do on thepatrice.com. And I already mentioned foodieflashback.com. That's my new podcast. I think I have released like 11 or 12 episodes by now. Really awesome ones with Jeff and with Howa and with Ewan. And soon I'm going to do Alistair and YD as well if they're up for it. We're definitely going to record some really cool episodes. Yeah, head over to foodieflashback.com. And if you wanna be on the show, then just reach out to me on like wherever you can find me, social media, Slack, everywhere. And we'll set something up. And yeah, you can find all the really cool shows of the British Tech Network on britishtechnetwork.com. We have the Mac show and the Big show. We have a photo show. We have obviously the news show with Kyle every weekday, I think. Every morning you get like the latest news. Maybe you will get at some point a Windows show with Adley. I don't know about that. But
crazy talk.
Yeah, I think we'll get that at some point. Maybe before like before the end of the century, we'll see about that. Please make sure that you support British Tech Network as well. The only reason why we can do this and why we can especially do the news show every day, because we pay Kyle a little bit for that. It's a lot of work. Is because of you listeners and you supporting us. And there's a link on britishtechnetwork.com where you can give us a little bit of money, and that goes mostly directly to Kyle for the news show. Yeah, and with that, thank you so much for listening. Talk to you next week.